Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. This is James Andrew Cox coming to you live. Well, not live, but it's recorded. This is When Words Fail Music Speaks, where you fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, as always, James Cox. And tonight we're joined by Lady Miranda. Is that right? Did I get it right?
Yep.
Perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. A multi-award winning, multi-genre singer, songwriter, and author based out of Seattle, Washington, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Known for her soulful voice, powerful high notes, and genre bending style that blends R&B, rock, hip-hop, and so much more. She's been captivating audiences since officially launching her songwriter career in 2009. Beyond her music, though, she's also a dedicated mentor, a published author, and advocate for building stronger, more inclusive communities in the arts. Yeah, this is quite an honor for me to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So you're from Seattle, right?
Well, I'm not from here originally, but okay. I've lived here for like 23 years now, so I'm practically from here.
Practically, yeah. But I guess you grew up somewhere else and then moved there too. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Seattle is a big thing in music, because the grunge era came from Seattle with Nirvana, Pearl Jam, all those big bands, you know?
That's right. Yeah, it's changed a lot, but yeah, grunge started here.
Yeah. So that was my next question. Is there more of a music scene now than there was back then? Because you're right. I mean, back then, no?
No.
Oh, no.
I would say no. Okay. I mean, there's still a music scene. I feel like it's not as vibrant as it was back then. We definitely have a lot more cover bands around the area now.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of original artists that play here, you don't hear about them as much, which is sad, but it's kind of weird.
Because that was back in the 90s when grunge blew up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like my childhood right there, you know, because I'm 45 and I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And 90s was my time to shine because I loved everything, you know, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and stuff like that.
Same here.
Yeah. So, so out of those four bands, who is your favorite between Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, or like Soundgarden?
That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
No. Yeah.
They're all kind of unique in their own way. I mean, I definitely like Nirvana and Soundgarden. I mean, and I've met, you know, I've had the chance to meet different people also that you know, that have been in the industry at like pre-parties and winning like getting autographs and stuff like that, and some of them were part of the grunge scene, and so I don't know. I kind of like them all, but probably would say Nirvana and Soundgarden would be at the top of those four for me.
Well, I love you just for saying Nirvana, because Nirvana is it for me. That's probably my number one go-to band of all time. And then it gets kind of foggy after that, you know, because there's so many great bands. Just like you said, it's incredibly hard to pick which one.
Right.
But in the 90s, I grew up mostly on Nirvana. And Alanis, my sister was a big Alanis Morissette person, so I grew up with her too, you know.
I like her music.
So when I researched you, which is awesome, I learned that you started writing poetry as a child, and it became into songwriting, you know, right?
Yeah, that's poetry is really kind of where I started with writing. It was kind of the I guess the escape, if you will, that helped me to express myself when I was younger. And so when I transitioned into songwriting, I feel like it was an easy transition because I was so used to writing in this particular kind of way.
Yeah. Nice. Do you have any poems that aren't did you write any poems that are still never songs, or did you like you know I mean like do you have some in the back burner that you're gonna take out soon, right, so we can all hear it?
I think my poetry writing and my songwriting are kind of separate now. Just because I feel like the way I write my poetry is a bit different of a style than the way I write my songs. By the way, I was trying to remember who it was that I was going to mention. I met Chris Cornell and I got his autograph, and that's why Soundgarden is probably at the top for me. So I
I
got to
love
meet
Chris
him before
Cornell.
he passed,
Yeah, Chris
and I got to
Cornell's
see
great.
his show, and my sister and I were up at the front. And so yeah, I was lucky to meet him before he passed away,
Yeah,
but
I don't think anybody's voice will ever like match his voice then or in the future. I mean, because he has a solidified voice that everybody knew right off the bat, you know.
yeah, and he did a lot of different things. But
Right.
yeah, but my poetry and my songwriting, I feel like now they're kind of separate. Just my styles of writing have changed a little bit, and as you get older, that kind of happens.
Right. Well, what I really love about your music is you blend multiple genres into one song, and that's great. You know, you like R&B, hip hop, and rock and roll, like I said before. So what's the secret ingredient in your music that still sounds like Lady Miranda, no matter what the style is?
I don't listen to what everybody says I should do, and I don't really listen to what people think as far as how I should be in the music industry. And so I don't write my songs that way either. I think that my producer will have to correct me if I'm wrong, because I tell him not to tell me the rules so I don't have to follow them.
Of course, good,
But
good, yes.
I think the traditional songwriting template is like a verse, a chorus, a verse, a chorus, a bridge, a chorus. And sometimes I write my songs that way, and a lot of times I don't.
Okay.
Sometimes I won't have a bridge. Sometimes I won't have a chorus where it should be. Sometimes I'll have two bridges, and sometimes I change it all the time, how I write it, based on kind of what strikes me when I'm writing and what makes sense to my brain. And so they're all very uniquely structured.
Yeah. Am I correct when I say when I ask you kindly, you have autism, right? Yes.
I am an ADHD also.
And did you know that through your like earlier days, or like did you like get you know
I got diagnosed late in life,
okay.
like most females do,
Right.
just because we don't present the same, and the criteria really isn't designed for females. So it takes longer for, and I honestly hadn't ever thought about it until I was struggling with being bored a lot at work and different things, and then a counselor was just like, "Have you thought maybe you're autistic?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't really thought about it, but my nephew is autistic, and
Okay.
actually I have two nephews that are on the spectrum also."
Okay.
And so then I went down that rabbit hole, and I guess apparently I was autistic before they were, but they found out first, so.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess, well, I guess ADHD is attention deficit hyper disorder, right? So technically, I'm still getting used to learning about ADHD. So attention deficit. So that means that you are attention aware, or like like what does that mean? Because I really don't know, to be honest with you.
For me, it's a bit different. Like when you're autistic and ADHD, it's different than when you're just ADHD. And so the way my therapist explained it, because we were talking about, I honestly didn't think I was ADHD initially, but then we were talking about different things that happened throughout my day. And so sometimes there's like this internal battle, because being autistic, I need routine and I need structure and I need, you know, environmental stuff and whatnot. But then there's other times when I just can't sit still and I have to do 15 things at once. And then I remember something and then I'll forget and I'll remember it and then I'll forget and I'll forget four times before I remember to actually do it.
Right.
So my brain kind of does this battle. And so sometimes being autistic wins out and sometimes the ADHD wins out. And I just never know until I get there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, right? Yeah. So how does the ADHD play a role in your creative music writing? I mean, does it make it better, or would you say it's kind of the, I mean, like, what, you know?
Actually, I don't think it, I think in a way it kind of helps, because being autistic and ADHD, both of those have a hyper focus thing where if I'm really interested in something, I will hyper focus on it. Okay. Whereas people who aren't, you know, on the spectrum or ADHD, they focus like a regular focus, whereas I hyper focus. And so I will sit here. If I get into a songwriting mode, I'll sit here and write like 3-4 songs back to back.
Great.
And then the next thing I know it, it's like 10 p.m. and I haven't eaten because I forgot because I was so hyper-focused. So it helps with the songwriting. It does not help with my eating habits.
Okay. Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, because I sometimes I forget to eat too, but that's not on purpose, I guess. You know, I don't think, well, I don't want to believe that that's on purpose that we do stuff. You know, we just.
I don't think so. Yeah, we're just so. Our brain is just so focused on what we're doing that we lose track of time.
Right. Well, it helps you with writing songs. But when it comes to the music, the actual music, I know that it can get kind of stressed because there's drums, bass, guitar, this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. So do you gravitate towards one instrument when you're creating the actual music, or do you like to like focus on each one five minutes at a time, like creating in this process?
Well, I go into the studio with my producer, and I think there's a focus on one instrument at a time, and sometimes we'll go back and add more of the same instrument in other places if we feel like it needs more or whatever. So I don't usually have an issue so much. I think when we're looking for a specific sound, and my producer is sitting there punching different keys on his keyboards to find the sound that we're looking for, that's when my ears are a little bit stressed out because all these different sounds are popping one right after the other. Yeah. And I'm like, what are we looking for here?
Right, yeah. Which one can I choose? You know? Yeah.
Well, awesome. What's the goal? Because this is making my ears go crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got like, I don't know how many different sounds there are in the world, but I'm sure there's a lot more than me or you can actually, you know, numberize, you know. So
yeah, who knows? I'm sure.
So have you ever written a song where the meaning changed for you years later after you lived more of life, you know?
I don't know if the meanings change so much, but I think it allows me to see kind of how I've grown and how my life is different now from back when I wrote that song. So I feel like when I write my songs, the meaning sticks with it, but I'm able to see kind of the difference in myself now versus back then. And I can kind of look back and be like, oh, I've come a long way.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I love your voice. Your voice is so soulful and soothing, you know.
Thank you.
It just feels right listening to you. I don't know what it is about your voice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So is there any like unconventional or like weird vocal tricks you use that other singers might find that like weird or like surprising that they don't use it too?
I don't know about vocal tricks, but I like to surprise people. So that's why in some of my songs, they sound like one genre, but then like somewhere in the middle, I'll throw a rap verse in there because that's not really something a lot of people expect out of me.
Right.
And they're not expecting it in the song because the song is a different style of genre. But we've been able to blend that pretty well. And I don't normally, when I release the song, I don't normally say there's a rap verse in it.
Right.
Yeah. I like that to be the surprise. I like to catch people off guard like that.
Yes.
That's where the poetry skills come into play because rap lyrics are essentially just poetry written to rhythm. And so those are pretty easy for me to write.
Yeah.
I do practice a lot.
Practice makes perfect, right?
Well, that and if you don't practice, you get tongue-tied pretty easily.
Yeah, right. And you sound like Eminem and, you know, with whatever. But,
especially if you're trying to do it fast.
Yes. But what I noticed about your Love Before Lies album is that you incorporate rap in those songs flawlessly, you know. How do you know when to put a rap verse in with the song and like how you blend it so well together?
I listen to a lot of like instrumental beats on YouTube and stuff.
Okay.
And I'll start to develop song ideas just from things I hear. And so I don't know, but like just what I'm hearing, my ears just kind of hear the sounds and my brain just starts thinking of like lyrics. And if a beat feels a certain way, then the lyrics just start to like fall into place as like a rap lyric or whatever kind of lyric. And then, you know, of course when we go into the studio, we make a completely customized beat that's all original.
Right.
But it just kind of happens that way. You know, my brain just kind of goes, oh, this would be a good beat for a rap lyric, or this would be, you know, this would be a good place for a rap verse or whatever. And then, and I have it on, I have one in my latest album also that I released this year. There's a song with a rap verse in the middle, and I don't know. My brain just kind of magically does that when I'm listening to different sounds and stuff.
Right.
I think that's one of the ways that having a different brain wiring is helpful.
Yeah, because many people can't. There's different abilities, and I think that you have an ability that a lot of artists would love to have, you know, because you're so laser focused on that music, that song, you know, and writing everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think it's just wonderful, you know. So, and I also found out that you belong to several organizations, like the ISSA, which I love. I'm a good friend with Caden Gordon and he, but like, let me interview you, you know. But I do want to know what this organization is. It's Recording Artists and Musical Professionals with Disabilities. Could you kind of delve into that and tell us what that is all about?
Yeah, it's RAMPT, and it's an organization that was created for musicians that are neurodivergent or have different disabilities, because the goal is to create a more inclusive space for those who have disabilities within the music industry. Because if, as you can probably imagine, being an artist in the music industry is very challenging. So when you're neurodivergent or have disabilities, it's even more challenging because you have more hoops to jump through just to try to accomplish things.
Right.
And I think this is one of the hard things that people don't understand is, like, because I am autistic and ADHD and I have other, you know, medical issues or whatnot, I can't perform as much as everybody else. It's harder for me to, I don't want to say it's harder for me to be on stage, like, in terms of performance, because I can do that just fine, but, like, the physical environment of performing is difficult because of the lights and the noise and the crowds and the and so all of these things that I have to think about are not really things that everyone else has to generally think about.
Right.
And just how that's going to work and how I can manage those things. And just even sometimes being in the studio and having headphones on for so long, listening to the same things over and over. And there's so many factors when you're disabled that go into what you have to deal with and think about how you're going to cope and be able to accomplish those things. And so this organization tries to bring more awareness and inclusivity. And it was developed by someone who's legally blind.
Okay.
And yeah. They work very closely also with the Recording Academy to help try to create initiatives to have a more inclusive environment for disabled musicians within the Recording Academy for, like, the Grammys and stuff.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to look that up because I'm totally interested and invested in what you just said. And it's good that a lot of people, and you're right, because a lot of people who aren't having disabilities don't think about stuff that we have to think about when we go out in the real world, you know? That's very, like, common that I noticed that other people don't understand practically anything that, you know, you or I have to go through, for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, I've had people, because they don't really understand or they don't really know what that's like or the things that I deal with, they don't take me as seriously as a musician because of that, because right. They don't see me perform all the time, or they don't see me do this or do that all the time. And even though I have done it, I probably do it way less than a lot of other people. And so that's kind of unfortunate, but it's, you know, it's a reality of the way the industry has been designed.
Yeah. It's right. It's that's interesting to me. I mean, that's just, you know, so moving. So let's go and talk about your live performances. I know there's got to be some kind of anytime anybody goes live, there's always got to be something that goes wrong in it, right? But it ended up teaching you something about yourself that you didn't know that you knew before. Did you experience those opportunities where it went wrong, but it taught you something about yourself as an artist?
You know, not really, to be honest. I've been pretty fortunate not to have a lot of stuff go wrong. I think for me, it's more of the preparation where I don't maybe prepare myself as much as I should have. And so I try to learn from that because, you know, I try to mentally prepare, but then I don't necessarily prepare myself for how loud it's going to be or how bright it's going to be or how high the stage is or anything like that. And, you know, or how small the stage is and worrying about tripping over cords and you know, because I'm a little bit clumsy. Oh, but
I am too.
yeah. So I think for me it's more about, like, things going wrong would be on my end with the lack of preparation. So I have to be better about that.
Yeah. Well, not only are you an author, a musician, singer, songwriter, you are a mentor also, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you mentor up-and-coming singers, right? Okay. So what's the most common mistake that you see artists making when preparing for competitions or live performances?
Do you mean like amateur singers or up-and-coming singers?
Yeah, people who you're mentoring, what's the common mistake that you always have to help them with, you know?
Oh, okay. So, a lot of the mentoring I've done has been for singing competitions where they're not singing their own songs, they're singing songs that are already available out in the world. And I would say probably the biggest mistake is the songs that they choose to compete with.
Okay.
Because people get, you know, they want to sing their favorite song, which is great, but their favorite song isn't always designed for their voice.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest mistake I see a lot of people make, I would say.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of, you're right, you know, especially when you go to karaoke bars, they're not really that very, you know, that good of a, you know. But now they have apps on your phone that'll help you determine what you are and what kind of songs fit your voice, you know. I'm not sure those are 100% correctly, but I mean, at least we're getting somewhere with, you know, with helping more people discover who they are and, you know.
Yeah, I haven't tried any of those, so I don't know how accurate they are either. Okay. But, you know, people will practice because they're really adamant on singing certain things. And even though they might get really good at it, at that song, they get really comfortable with the song. And when you get too comfortable, that's when you start making more mistakes. And I think people don't realize that.
Yeah. They don't really, you know. Yeah, which is unfortunate for them, you know.
There should always be some nerves.
Yes. If you're not nervous, you're not doing it right, you know.
Right, exactly. I've always
said, you know. So what's one song or an artist outside of your genre, because I know you have very many, that secretly inspires you to do that exactly like them, but feed off their song energy?
Outside of my genre?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know you got so many genres, but I'm, you know.
I listen to a lot of things. But, you know, recently I heard my friend Carla out in Los Angeles. She has something she just released recently called Nomadica. Mm-hmm. And it's completely not my genres at all. It's, to me, it's more of a, I forget how she categorizes it, but it sounds very like meditative music.
Right.
And the story behind it is very powerful because she wrote it for her mom who had passed away. And just the way they did the instruments, it's a beautiful music, and stuff like that really like inspires me, because I feel like even though it's not my genre and it's not something I would do,
right,
it makes me look at like different ways of how to do instruments differently and different sounds and styles, and it's neat to see what other people do sometimes.
Yes. And when you put them all together, you know, they all sound like more like, I don't know, I don't want to say it'll sound like more like them, but it'll sound like you with their inspiration behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. So we do have three more questions for you, and but we do thank you so much for coming on. You've been great so far. Yeah, that's awesome.
I appreciate you having me.
Sure, yeah. Anytime you want to come by, just come back, okay? So, all right, So, okay, so I'm going to do this to you. You might not like me anymore. But we're gonna do like a Mount Rushmore of your favorite artists. You have four of them. Who is your favorite four of all time?
I would say Evanescence.
Good pick.
They definitely have a lot of influence on my rock music.
Yes.
I do some goth rock songs that I've done. Alicia Keys.
Okay.
That's probably my R&B inspiration. I would say Snow the Product is probably my rap inspiration. A lot of people don't know about her, but a lot of people do. She's an independent artist, but she used to be on a major label a long time ago, and she raps in two languages.
Right.
And just she's very fast, and her rap skills are amazing.
I heard of one or two songs from her, but those were like years ago, you know.
Yeah, she's always coming out with new stuff, but just I find it fascinating how she can go from English to Spanish just without like skipping a beat, just without messing up her cadence, without slowing down, without taking a breath. And I'm just like, you know, I'd like to learn to rap in a different language. That'd be pretty neat. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Let's see. I don't know about the fourth one.
No?
I need to think about that.
You got any classic rock bands that you tend to, you know, with your rock background?
I like classic rock. Yeah, I grew up with a lot of different stuff. So, I've, you know, classic rock, I would listen to a lot of, like, Journey or bands that sound similar, like Earth, Wind, and Fire and...
All the great stuff, right?
Yeah. Like we listen. My mom listens to almost everything except for like the rock stuff. But my aunt listened to the rock stuff. So when I would go to my grandparents' house, I would go sneak into her room and listen to her vinyl records because she had like Nirvana and Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses and all those. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I got that genre into the mix of things. So. I grew up listening to all of it.
Yeah, because I love country music. That's my number one art. That's my number one thing. But my mom and my aunt Molly, my aunt Molly loved the Beatles, and my mom loved Elvis, and my dad loved CPR. So I had three things going on that not exactly the, you know, all the same thing, but kind of you know. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right. So let's go back into the past, right? So let's look at Miranda's room when she was 14, 15, 16. Okay. We're looking around her wall. Are we looking at any musical posters? And if so, which ones are we looking at right now?
So like you, I was, you know, my whole music stuff was the 90s. I listened to a lot more R&B back then and a lot more hip hop back then. I still listened to grunge and all of that because my friends were really into grunge. And the only album my best friend and I could agree on was Green Day's Dookie album.
I love that album. Still
the only one we could agree on because we are polar opposites in music. So we were together. That's the only album we would listen to.
That's the album now. Hell yeah.
So like on my walls, I had more of like the Boys to Men and the Color Me Bad and the, you know, that whole genre.
I love Color Me Bad. Color Me Bad was a bad group. They were really, really
it's
good.
Funny. Yeah. No one really talks about them anymore.
Because I think something happened with two of the singers or something. I'm not sure. But they were really good, so it doesn't matter. So, all right. So you got Color Me Bad, Boys to Men, a lot
I
of R&B.
Can't remember who else.
Yeah.
Did maybe you have any, 112.
Like rock posters or something, metal and country. Do you like country?
I didn't really grow up listening to a lot of country.
Okay.
I think I kind of prefer the country rock mix, though, to be honest.
Right. Cool. All right.
But yeah, that was probably about, I don't remember having a lot of posters on my wall.
Yeah.
But I know I had those for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I went to a lot of concerts.
Really?
And my mom threw away my first cassette tape that I bought with my own money.
Oh, and what was that?
It was Meredith Brooks.
I like Meredith
The
Brooks, hell yeah.
reason she took it away from me is because
Because
I
of
was
that.
still a kid and it had that one song on there that's not a good word, so I'm not gonna say
Yeah.
it on
Yeah,
camera.
no, yeah. Everybody who grew up in the 90s knows that song. And if you don't know, go ask your mom or dad,
Yeah, she
Yeah.
was like, "You can't be listening
No, you
to
can't be listening. What are you doing listening to this? Yeah. But I
Sad.
remember loving that song when that song came out on like MTV TRL, I think. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh gosh,
Yeah.
maybe it was so long ago,
Yeah. Yeah.
but it was a very popular song when it
It
came
was.
out.
Yeah. I think that was her only hit, wasn't it? Because I don't
I
remember.
think you might be right.
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
remember hearing anything else really play on the radio like that so
I don't
much.
either. Yeah, which is sad because she had a really good album, so good album.
Yeah.
So, all right, we got one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. Okay, so this is the hardest question that I asked for you today. Okay, what is one song, artist, or album that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Goodness.
Yeah.
You're gonna make me really think about
I
this.
know, yeah. Yep, you just listen to the song and but you can't tell. You can't express how it makes you feel.
That's hard. I'm pretty expressive.
Okay. Not everybody has a song that can do that, because I've asked musicians on here before, and there's like two or three musicians that don't have that kind of connection with the song,
Yeah, I feel like if a song makes you feel something, then it's a good song.
Yes. I agree. I agree.
The thing is, though, is that I can tell you what I'm feeling about a song, but sometimes I might not be able to tell you why I feel that way, which is not what you're asking. So I don't know. I'm autistic. You know, my brain's just gonna keep
Oh,
going down this rabbit hole
hey,
for a
yeah.
long time through the
Well,
like thousands and thousands of songs that I've ever listened
come on back and tell me.
to.
You could always come back. Hell yeah, dude. I love talking to you about this music stuff. This is awesome. Yeah, but okay. So let's give you some shout outs here. You can go to theonlyladymiranda.com. Yes, and go to her music page, which is okay. So you have merchandise here. Yep, you got merchandise.
Everything's on there. Everything is
Everything.
clickable. You click on something, it takes you where you want to go with it.
Yeah, because I see mugs and shirts and other stuff like that. So that'd be really, really cool. All right. And then you can go to Apple Music or Spotify and download her songs. Love
Yep, all those
Before
buttons are
Life.
also clickable. It will take you right to my music. So
Oh,
I
nice.
tried to make my website interactive and easy for people
Yes.
to find stuff
Exactly.
in one place.
And you got a new single called Need to Know that was released September 16th. So brand new song, right?
Yep, and I'm
Right.
releasing another one on October 5th. So,
Nice. Oh, you're just pumping them out, huh? Hell yeah, I love it.
well, we're
We're
trying. I
trying,
mean,
huh? Yeah, we're trying. We're not
some
there
take
yet.
longer than others.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You've been
Thank you
great to talk to.
for having me on here. I appreciate
Sure.
it.
Yes, ma'am. All right. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.